Coming up, Lav and I talk week three of social distancing, bridging the financial gap, and binge watching. Welcome to the Golf Central podcast presented by TaylorMade and the all-new Sim Driver. The driver head was in need of a drastic change in order to provide more performance. So TaylorMade changed the shape altogether with their new Sim Driver, which allowed them to make it faster and forgiving where every golfer needs it, in the downswing. Pros love the new shape, but the biggest reason TaylorMade changed the shape was to help make you into a better golfer. Check out TaylorMadeGolf.com for more information on the all-new Sim family. Welcome again to the podcast. I'm Rex Hogger, joined by Ryan Lavner. Lav, we're going to start with week three of social distancing. Have you been outside your house? You clearly haven't shaved, for those of you who can't see the four screen that I'm looking at here. But have you actually been outside your house, and have you put pants on in the last week?
I haven't put pants on. It's been 95 degrees, so pants are an absolute no-go. Also, thank you for not beginning this podcast with, hey, all you cool cats and kittens, which is where I thought you were going to start this one.
Wait.
With a nod to Tiger King. We will certainly be getting into all of our thoughts on Tiger King. But to answer your question, yes, I have been out of the house. We're taking two walks a day. We're still taking the kid to daycare. Daycare, thank God, they are still opening. My wife and I are working from home. But yeah, we're starting to get sick of this. And unfortunately, there is no end in sight.
I think we're all kind of getting sick of it. Actually, my kids just started homeschooling today, and my wife is schooling from home, I guess would be a better way to put it. And so my wife set up, you know, like a little classroom inside our living room area, and there was some complaining going on, and I had to come in and play principal, which is kind of cool. Actually, if you can start throwing stuff around, and I even broke out a ruler. It was quite 1980s principal. I'm going to make you pay for this, kid.
I would love to see you answer some of these high school math equations as well.
Oh, I don't have any of that. Let's be honest. So before we get to binge watching, which is hello, cool cats and kittens is where you were going with that, which I can totally appreciate it. I do want to get into a little bit of golf. There was some golf news, if we can believe it. There was a memo that was sent to players on Friday by the tour outlining some financial benefits. And there's some existing programs that they just expedited with players having the ability to now pull from their retirement fund. They've always been able to do that, but they've just expedited it. And now you look at it, there's some new programs. Specifically, players are going to be allowed to borrow essentially off where they are in the FedEx Cup standings. And I wrote this story, Lav, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I kind of was looking at social media after I wrote it, and people are very dismissive of whatever it takes for a professional golfer to bridge the gap. And look, we all know this isn't for the Rory McIlroys of the world. This is for the guy who's 150th on the FedEx Cup points list, or even a Corn Ferry Tour player.
Can you break down how this is going to work? Let's say it's Troy Merritt. You know, let's assume Troy Merritt's, let's just call him 100th on the FedEx Cup points race. Can you break down for the listeners how this would actually work?
Okay, so the way it's going to work is the bonus is by and large outside, unless you actually win it. You get a certain percentage of that in cash, and the vast majority of it's deferred, again, unless you've actually won the FedEx Cup. That what they've changed is you can now take 50% more of that in cash. It is no longer deferred into your retirement program, and you can take it as an advance payment up to $100,000. Where you run into a player like Troy Merritt, so if you're in the top 30 right now in the FedEx Cup, you could take up to $100,000, because the way the formula works out, it looks like you're going to earn more than $100,000 because you're going to have to pay that back.
Do you think anyone's actually going to do that?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I was actually working on a story before this memo came out. There's a program, and I mentioned this, that players can pull from their retirement. And we all know the PGA Tour retirement is the golden egg. I mean, this is the best retirement in all of sports, maybe in all of business, to be honest with you. And so they've always been allowed to do that. It is so frequent, as a matter of fact, that there's actually just like an easy form on the player's website where you just punch in the numbers and punch in the facts, and you can pretty much get cash within a couple of days. So they've just kind of made that even easier for players. And I knew already, talking with some agents, talking with some players, yeah, there are some players who are already starting to pull into their retirement who will probably use this FedEx Cup bonus program. And you can also borrow off of money that you might earn in a Monday Pro-Am going forward. So all of these things are to help bridge the gap. Again, don't at me. I don't want to hear it. I understand that Rory McIlroy doesn't have financial problems. And I don't even want to say the Troy Merritts, but there are guys on the PGA Tour, and certainly guys on the Corn Ferry Tour and the other tours, who need financial help. And at least the tour is trying to do something.
Yeah, I'd be more interested to know how this is going to impact the Corn Ferry Tour players. I mean, they haven't played now for a month and a half. These are guys who likely don't have guaranteed contracts in terms of equipment, you know, whatever they make on the Korn Ferry Tour, and it isn't much. You know, the best player on the Korn Ferry Tour is going to make $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 if he has an absolutely unbelievable season. I'd be curious to know what the PGA Tour is going to do to help those players, because you can see it on social media. They're getting jobs, you know, at Lowe's, you know, in the stock room, just working on supplies. We have a couple of players on social media who are offering $20 for swing lessons. If you send your swing in, Rex, I would highly recommend you do that, although there's probably no saving you. I mean, they're trying to get very desperate in terms of just collecting a couple hundred dollars a week just to get by. And this is a situation where they're going to have to do this now for 2 or 3 months until we can get started again. I'd be more curious to know what's going to happen with the Korn Ferry Tour players, as opposed to Sung Jae-im, you know, maybe collecting $100,000 out of his $15 million bonuses that he's currently projected to take home.
Oh, I agree entirely. And that cheap shot about my swing was not called for. As a matter of fact, I've been working on my short game. I put it on social media yesterday. I felt comfortable enough to putting some short game work on social media. You should go check it out.
So you were hitting balls at your son?
In the direction of my son. It was less about, if you haven't seen this, so I have lacrosse players in my house and I'm trying to work on my short game. We had a bit of an argument about who got to use the field, quote unquote field, first. And so we ended up doing it together. So I was hitting chip shots at him. He would catch them in the lacrosse stick and shoot them, which sounds kind of cool. And I actually like the way the video turned out. What you didn't see is the first video we tried to shoot, I chipped it, he caught it and shot it right at us because it came out funny. Yeah, it's a golf ball. It came out a little funny. So it was a little dangerous.
Is he an attackman? Is he a midfielder?
The youngest is a middie, and luckily I have the middle child is a deep hole, is a defender. So I have the best of both worlds, so we can actually have pretty good practices in our backyard.
Well, he's probably going to turn into a goalie with some of your skulls that you'll be sending in his direction.
Maybe.
I feel like we've lost the plot here.
Hold on. Before we get to that, I do want to point out, hey, for those of you, again, you can't see, but there's a four screen here on my video, and I can see Kaz, I can see Lavner. And once again, Ray has disappeared, but it looks like his dogs are multiplying. There it is. Ray's back. Ray, how many dogs do you have? Just hold fingers up in the air. I'll fill two. Okay, thank God.
Last week he had one.
Don't feed them after midnight. Apparently they're multiplying on you. Be careful with that. To get back to your original point, you're absolutely right. It's the Korn Ferry Tour players. It's the caddies. I mean, after I wrote this story on Friday, I had some caddies reach out to me, both on Twitter and texting me. And look, the tour, there is a program in place for the caddies. It's not a great program, I'll be honest with you. I mean, what's being made available is kind of half of some bonus pool money that Valspar actually put up, which isn't a lot when you consider how many caddies are out there. I believe it's a pool about $250,000 split among, I don't know, 150 caddies, let's say. And then there's also a benevolent fund, which I haven't been able to find out where the money comes from. So yeah, there's a lot of need out there. And again, not the Rory McIlroys of the world, but there are plenty of players and caddies who need help.
Yeah, this is something that needs to get sorted out over the next days, weeks, and unfortunately months here. Rex, let's move on to a little bit more news. On Monday, this is when we're taping this podcast, the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. It has a new date. There was some, you know, speculation that this may move from the summer to the spring. That got me all excited, thinking that this may be positioned between the Masters Tournament and the PGA Championship, which to me is a little bit better of a window for the Olympic Games than it is currently positioned. But look, in 2021, it's going to be virtually the same. Opening ceremony on July 23rd, 2021. Closing ceremony, August 8th, 2021. That is virtually identical to what was scheduled for 2020. What's your big takeaway? I mean, we're basically, top players are going to have the same schedule crunch that they had this year. That's at least my takeaway from this.
I think so. I don't think anything changed. I get where you're coming from. The idea of a Spring Olympics sounded kind of cool when it first got brought up last week. I don't know, at least when it comes to the golf world, and look, we're a very small piece of this huge pie that is the Olympics. I know we're not much of a consideration, but let's face it, the spring for us is the Masters, the Players' Championship. I mean, there's plenty of other things in the spring, so I don't know if it would have been a great fit. You still have the Open Championship, which kind of butts up against where we assume the Olympics will be played. I mean, we're assuming the men's competition will be in that same kind of first week time frame, and it's no different than it would have been this year. I think the only difference is this is the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews. And so along with that comes, I mean, it is a little bit more special. Let's pretend like it's not.
That's also assuming that the 149th is going to be played.
Yes.
Which is still a very big if at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's up in the air. I think, you know, you look at there were some reports last week that the U.S. Open is pretty much been postponed, although the officials have not announced yet. There's officials at Wingfoot who have pretty much conceded that they're looking for other dates. And I think you pretty much have to at this point, especially in that area. I mean, that's the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. So I think that's something you're going to have to look at. And you actually, I mean, unbelievable. You actually had a really good column last week, although I'm not quite sure if you believe what you wrote.
Of course I believe what I wrote.
So here's the premise. Then I just want to make sure that we can go with this. The premise is, let's play the Ryder Cup this year and give both captains just 12 picks instead of worrying about qualifying. Is that the idea here?
Okay. First of all, let's start with a disclaimer that we're all hoping that the Ryder Cup happens, right? Like it's one of our favorite events to cover. It's insanely entertaining. We hope it can be played the last week of September at Whistling Straits. I think it'll be great. However, I think it's probably on the outs if there's an event that has to go to make room for the major championships which would have precedence. I think, you know, booting the Ryder Cup to 2021 is the most likely scenario if everything is okay in the world. If you can have a big major championship with, you know, 100,000, 200,000 fans, right now we just don't know if that's the case. I think it's probably most likely to get postponed to 2021. However, if they can play it this year, to me, this is a golden opportunity to try something different. Because let's face it, qualifying is an absolute mess right now. There is no way that they can have this event from September 25th to 27th and have qualifying as it is currently constituted. There's just no way they can do it. By the time this is all over, there's going to be at least a dozen tournaments on the PGA Tour and European Tour that have been canceled or postponed because of the coronavirus. And so with that chunk of the schedule missing, there's no way you can continue with qualifying with this, with major championships, which is going to have so many points available towards qualifying. If you don't have those tournaments, why not blow it up and get rid of qualifying altogether? And in that void, Rex, if there's no qualifying, this is when you could have Steve Stricker and Patrick Harrington do something totally outside the box, and that is to have 12 captains picks. They have total autonomy on how they want to fill out the roster.
I love the way you went immediately to the golf rider safety rope, which is however. You make your point, and then it's however.
Yes. And always have to couch it.
In this alternate universe where there's no other way for us to do it than 12 picks would be the answer. I'm not against this at all. I think it's an intriguing.
You said it was silly. You literally said in an email last week, that sounds silly.
It was a text, and I think my text was, that sounds silly. Good luck with that, because I think you were being instructed to do it by the powers that be.
So this is my idea.
I was just trying to be as supportive as possible for you.
Silly.
Like I said, I think it has some merits. Where I think your idea falls apart. Harrington, he would probably love the idea of coming up with 12 guys and doing his own team and doing it his own way. You cannot pick a worse captain to try to come up with his own 12 players than Steve Stricker. And this is nothing against Steve Stricker. I mean, the nicest guy in the world.
But he would break out in hives if he was tasked with this.
If he saw your column, he's already broken out in hives. He's somewhere in his living room in a ball on the floor, just curled up, just crying himself to sleep at night. There is no way he would
pick 36 guys.
He would go straight off the list. There is no way that this would ever happen. And I don't know, outside of Paul Azinger, who would actually want to do this, if I'm being honest.
Phil would love this.
I think even Phil would have to tiptoe around this one. I mean, I just think there's so many personalities involved. It's so hard when you start talking about, I mean, at that point, it just becomes a popularity contest and it's just a bad look.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest. And you know who that would fall back on if the whole thing blows up and they get blown out?
The captain.
It would fall back on the captain.
And you think Phil doesn't understand that? You think Phil wants to take responsibility?
Yeah, but this would put the onus on the captain. They should want this scenario instead of being stuck with a bad egg like, hello, Patrick Reed, or getting stuck with a player who maybe doesn't fit with all the partnerships. Hello, Bryson. Instead of getting stuck with those players, they can put together the best 12 players that would play well together. To me, it's an absolute no-brainer. There is no way, Rex, that they can have the Ryder Cup played in late September with qualifying how it is. I mean, you just can't have it.
I agree.
You're potentially going to have two or three majors played after it.
No, you're right. And that's, I think essentially that's what did the Olympics in. That look, you probably still could have come up with a date to hold the Olympics down the line. We're pretty far down the line right now. You could wait this out and see. The one thing that I think caused the Olympics to push ahead a year, it's all about qualifying. And I don't think the Ryder Cup is any different. All right, I'm going to cut you off on that one because clearly you've exhausted
clearly
everything.
I'm right.
Clearly, yeah. Check out his column on golfchannel.com. There was a tweet last night and it came through. And it was from a gentleman by the name of Chris Yoko, who was tweeting Tiger and Phil specifically.
Yurko. Sorry, Mr. Yurko.
That's a fine. I'm sorry. Do you, Tiger and Phil, do you think there's any chance you two can go play around mic'd up with one camera guy and just put it out there on a stream for people to watch? We need live sports. Now, normally those kind of questions just go into the social media ether and never get answered. Phil fired back within an hour, working on it. Let the speculation begin. When, where, what's happening? What's going to happen?
I mean, Rex, you covered the original match. It was in November 2018.
I've covered both of them.
It was a $9 million jackpot. Lest we forgot, that was not a particularly well-played match. The smack talk was really lame. That wasn't particularly well-played. To me, it was kind of a dud. Obviously, you had all sorts of technical issues in which that, you know, a lot of people, instead of paying the $19.99, eventually just streamed it for free. I didn't like the original match. However, I think I'm so desperate for live sports action that I would be totally for this. However, they have to come up with a way to do this that's socially responsible. To me, the only way you could possibly do this while still following the CDC guidelines of social distancing would be to have it on Periscope. Just have like Rob McNamara out there with a cell phone streaming it on Periscope with not getting closer than 6 feet. I don't need to see shot tracer. I don't need to see any other sort of advanced technology. Just put it on Periscope, have it, you know, kind of uncensored. Even if you miss a couple shots, I think everyone would love to see this. I think that gets streamed by millions and millions of people.
I do. I think it's a great idea in this time. I think it's interesting listening to other sports radio, how everyone seems to think that golf is the sport that should save us all, that golf should be the shining beacon, because there is not another sport that's so inclined to social distancing like golf. You can, I mean, at the golf club here that we play at, they've taken the pins out of the holes. There's no rakes. I mean, you can just go about your business and never get within 6 feet of anyone. And I think golf can be the very much the same way. I would issue some caution on this one, though, that yes, a Tiger Phil match with Rob McNamara periscoping or however it is you want to do it, that's safe and fun for everyone involved. Don't try to make this into a money-making endeavor. That's
unless
my concern.
It's for charity.
Well, yeah, sure. If you want to donate everything to emergency gear for emergency responders, I think there's a couple cool things you can come up with. But let everyone see it. I was listening to a podcast this morning about baseball and about how what they're thinking about when if and when they do come back. Let's make every game available for everyone to watch. Let's do away with the subscription services. Let's get everyone involved again. The NBA is considering the same thing. This would be a perfect opportunity for golf to be out front and not a chance for them to say, look, we know these are tough times. We're going to bridge the gap and we're going to give you Tiger Phil at their best on a cell phone for free. Enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, the absolute worst thing they could do is to say, and to watch this on PJ Tour Live, it'll cost you $4.99 and you have to get a subscription for 12 months. There's just no way they can do that. Do this for charities, do this for the first responders, do this for the medical experts, do this for all the healthcare professionals that are on the front lines. I could see that generating tens of millions of dollars, you know, if they have enough foresight and enough time before we get the PJ Tour back. I'd absolutely love to see it. I'm still skeptical we'll actually have that happen. Also, for all we know, is Tiger actually healthy enough to participate in this exhibition? We haven't really heard from him since Riviera. That's another obstacle to overcome. But I like where Phil's head at. I like the fact that he's working on it. And I like the fact that when someone said, Phil, you're not just teasing us, right? He said, I don't tease. This is actually going to happen.
I'm going to make that tough transition from Tiger to the Tiger King. Have you seen this?
Of course I've seen it.
Everyone's seen it.
We have nothing else to do but to watch it.
All right, wait a minute. Spoiler alert, Kaz is putting his hands over his ears. You know what, Kaz? Ray walked
away. That's what the mute button's for, Kaz.
Yeah, Ray hasn't sat and listened to anything we've said, so just go ahead and pull the Ray and let your dog sit in front of the laptop, because apparently that's the way this works out. But the Tiger King, and this is not something I would have normally watched. It is actually brilliant TV. I mean, and it couldn't be better timing because let's face it, we're all quarantined and we have to watch something. But the most, the fact that the most redeeming character, again, Kaz walked away, the most redeeming characters are one, a guy without any legs, and two, someone without an arm because it got gnawed off by a tiger. The fact that those are the most redeeming characters in this entire series is mind-boggling to me.
I mean, this is, this has to be one of the most bizarre documentaries ever. And the fact that Joe Exotic, who is the main character in the star of the doc, the fact that he got 19% of the vote while running for governor in the state of Oklahoma is like the 1,000th most bizarre thing in this 7-part series. I mean, it's just unbelievable. If you haven't seen that, we don't want to spoil it for folks. But they also kind of lay out in the first episode what happens in the main star. He's currently serving 20 years in prison. The fact of the matter is he's a sociopath who's harmed a lot of people, a lot of animals, but he is far from the most sleazy of characters. I mean, you could go down the list from Carol Baskin to Jeff Lowe to Doc Antle. It is just, it's a bunch of horrible people who have done horrible things, and there's some investigations that need to be reopened.
And I think they are. That's kind of how we leave us, which makes me think that there could be like a Tiger King 2, which would get me through another couple of weeks, which is what I'm hoping for. But the part that throws me is if you watch any movie, and movies try this all the time in very structured ways to make the villain seem sympathetic at the end, right? I mean, we've tried to do that, and thousands of movies have tried to do that. For this to happen, or at least I'm sympathetic towards Joe Exotic in the end, because he is in jail, because all of his friends abandoned him. And look, he's in jail for all the right reasons. This is all entirely
self-inflicted. Maybe not for 20 years, but sure. he absolutely deserves jail time, yes.
But when you walk away from a series, a real life series, and you're thinking to yourself that he is clearly the villain and I feel sorry for him, that's brilliant. I mean, that's brilliant TV.
I mean, he had tons of charisma. There were a lot of admirable qualities about him. But he's also done some truly horrible things, even though he didn't follow through on the hit to kill Carol Baskin, who, you know, I think the feds need to go ahead and crack that case open again, dust off the cobwebs on those records.
Well, the hitman went free. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but the hitman went free.
Yes.
And he's Joe Exotic's in prison.
Yes. Yes. The actual guy who was hired and the guy who was in talks with hiring that guy is also just roaming the streets free.
Okay, but before we get
to Jeff Lowe.
No, and we're giving away too much, so we probably have to stop. But before we move on,
Karma's a powerful thing, Rex.
It is a very powerful thing. Before we move on away from binge watching, there's one that I thought, and you like cooking shows, which is why, and you may have seen this, Ugly Delicious.
No.
It's on Netflix, and the gentleman's name is David Chang. He's a very famous chef. I've since looked this up. However, he was a very famous junior golfer back in the day as well. Ray, let's get him on the podcast.
That's a great story. I should clarify. I don't like cooking shows. I like barbecue shows.
He's actually done two barbecue shows within his cooking show world, and it's not so much a cooking show. It's a social comedy.
Yeah, I was binging Barbecue Pitmasters the other day, even though I've since briefly switched to the vegan lifestyle to lower my cholesterol out of the kill zone into something slightly safer. Barbecue Pitmasters is really the fix that I needed in terms of brisket and ribs and chicken. I was just salivating while watching, knowing that I can't have it for another couple months until I get out of the kill zone.
So you can't even do it for one day. Like you don't even have a cheat day once a week where you do a brisket or ribs or anything.
I had a hamburger a couple nights ago, but I really shouldn't have that again for like 2 months. I've already lost 5 to 7 pounds, which to me should lower my numbers enough to get me out of the kill zone.
Well, this is a good question to bring up because do you think, well, it's a 2-part question. Do you think there'll be more divorces from the quarantine or more babies? One. And two, do you think people will lose weight or gain weight during the quarantine?
All right. To answer your first question, I think there'll be more babies. Although if your marriage is bad heading into this quarantine, you're definitely headed towards a divorce. And what was your second question?
Do you think people will lose weight more or gain weight more?
Absolutely gain weight.
Really? You just said you've lost 2 pounds, 3 pounds.
I have. I'm saying the vast majority, I'm a superior athlete who just happens to have bad genetics. I mean, I'm going to lose weight. I mean, we have a Peloton at the house. Peloton.
You don't think I'm going to call you on the superior athlete thing? You don't think I'm going to call you out on that?
I thought we were just going to gloss over that. But the fact that, look, we've got Aaron Bearden, who's our buddy. He's the producer of the Morning Drive show. He's doing this quarantine push-up challenge. He's cranking out like 650 push-ups a day, which is just an outrageous number. I think that says to me that he's not actually working hard enough, and that he's too busy doing push-ups. But I mean, he's going to look like Bryson after a couple months. This is outrageous.
Well, and you're a Peloton guy, and I can appreciate that, and I know how much work goes into that. But and you saw the thing the other day with Rory and Bubba, and they all got
JT,
together for a ride. Where would you rank of those four or five guys? Billy Horschel was on that list. Where I'm trying to get the idea of how good of a Peloton rider you actually are.
But I'm not a good rider, and let's be clear that Rory is an absolute freak.
He's a freak. No, that's not fair.
No one should be comparing themselves to Rory McIlroy. Yeah, I mean, if there's 15,000 people who are riding, he's like 100th.
Oh, because Billy Horschel was on this ride, and I talked to him this weekend about it. He was telling me how you can't compete with him. He goes, it's worse than golf. As good as he is as world number one at golf, he's that much better on a Peloton.
And even Justin Thomas, who, you know, he's not a bodybuilder, and he doesn't proclaim to be. I mean, he's still above average in terms of riders. I mean, their average output is absolutely insane, and it just makes you appreciate, you know, even though they're not football players, not basketball players who have this crazy endurance. I mean, these guys are absolutely ripped.
My original question in superior athlete. If Rory is a scratch handicap in this particular world, what are you?
20?
20. Oh my. All right. I think that'll do it for this Golf Central podcast presented by TaylorMade. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we'll do more spoiler alerts. Well, and I came up with a game we can play next week, Lab. Whenever Ray walks away from his laptop, we can find Ray's dogs. It's like finding walk.
I mean, we're getting very desperate for content. So yes, please.
May the content monster keep going. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.